before speaking a little bit about the practice today, one usual announcement is that there's some translation at the back of the hall if you'd like some support with the review of the ideas in particular. And also just want to point out that this is a really kind of precious point in the retreat for us, and really supporting yourself in that. Some of you who've been on retreats before will be perhaps familiar with the idea that the mind likes to plan what I'm going to do next and use the really subtle and delicate and refined attention to think about, you know, whatever it is that our mind thinks about the future. And that's understandable, even reasonable, but also it kind of misses the possibilities that we have for really deepening into our experience. So yeah, doing what feels appropriate as much as you can to really support getting the most benefit for yourself, all beings, out of your this quality of your heart and mind. And maybe just a point about that is it's probably more delicate and refined than it looks like to you. Yeah, like it's from the inside, it's sometimes difficult to tell, because with that more sensitivity, maybe we would have mostly noticed what's not okay about it. Yeah. But that's a sign of its deepening also. And we're also not doing the group meetings today, so there's more opportunity for one-to-one meetings. And we want to emphasize that these are also for exploring your practice here. And so we want to emphasize that interest in coming there to kind of discuss, develop, see what's working, what needs a little bit more support, or what would open up the possibility for more practice for us. So there's a sign up, and we'll add times once those fill up to make sure that we get to see as many of you as possible. And the last thing is maybe the least practical thing to say, which is emptiness as a teaching is always or almost always combined with compassion or metta. Yeah, it's very rare that you kind of find it sitting separately. So it's really a helpful way of seeing and understanding this practice, that what we're exploring in particular today, the empty nature of the self, which means the self view is rich with possibilities, is supported by compassion, supported by metta, and also leads towards compassion and metta. So if at any point the practice feels like it's, you know, self-annihilation or destruction or antagonism or aggression, all the things we weren't wishing for last night on the metta chant. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, maybe I'm going a little bit too strong here. And it might be a little bit of that every once in a while is helpful. It opens something up. Yeah. But not all the time. Not as the goal. Which means that certain times you might need to step back and say, yeah, enough of this anatta type practice, this not self type practice. Maybe a bit more of the metta. Like feeling that, judging that for ourselves. So, you know, as I mentioned, I feel really honored to have the chance to kind of practice with you, and feel really honored to have met some of you, half of you or so. And I like you. And I hope that you like you too. Yeah. And so our practice can be guided by that underlying sense. Is it? Yeah, I don't need to be annihilated. But I do like to play along the spectrum of kind of self-importance, you could say, or self-obsession that we can get into, self-centeredness. self-referential, like making it, it's all about me. Like, do I like this day? Is this day too hot? You know, it's about me. And those things start to reinforce a sense that there's a me over here in kind of an independent way. And we're seeing what happens when we soften that. Yeah, that extreme of self-view that has a lot of possessing, demanding, identification. And those self-views usually have a lot more dukkha to them, a lot more stress, a lot more distress. And so the invitation today is to play with real effort, real dedication, but also real playfulness and creativity to see if we can reduce the amount of dukkha through the self-sense, the self-view. So just to repeat a thing or two from before, and also hopefully it's obvious, but then we can move on from there, which is that the sense of self is a spectrum, right? It has a range, like light has a spectrum, different types of light. Self has different types of appearances for us. When there's a lot more being going on, or mining, owning, possessing, identifying with, usually we could say that brings more grossness, more contraction, more broadly what we're calling this dukkha experience. All the practices that we do, is that enough or a bit more? Like this one? Yeah. So all of the practices that we do, whether that's metta, samadhi, other insight practices like Vedana, we see that it's a way that also impacts that sense of self. And this idea that the sense of self is, that's a bit much, right? The sense of self is an activity, that didn't work, is an activity that we do, that we participate in. What we do is how we feel. Yeah. And we can change what we're doing, and it changes how we're feeling. So we're not going to switch all the way across and just do this insight practice. We're actually going to support it from the foundation of more metta practice, more well-being practice, more steadiness with the breath, the sound, and then just gonna drop that in, because they both work in the same direction, but one of them can be like, wow, that really shifts some stuff. That insight practice really shifts some stuff. If you prefer, just keep going with the practice that feels good for you. Yeah. Completely fine. Completely right to do that. But in a way, the insight that we're seeing is that when the demanding drops down, whether that's replaced with metta or replaced with a sense of well-being, when there's more well-being, right, there's less demanding, because I already got the well-being. Why would I go into the demanding here? Yeah. I've already got that sense of kindness, interconnection. Why would I put myself in the center again? That doesn't feel better. So when that changes, self-sense changes, well-being increases. And that's the insight there. And when we see with wisdom, we see, it's actually enjoyable not to put myself in the center, get obsessed, get possessive about things. It actually feels good in that way. And so seeing that, then we can actually take that as a practice. And we might feel that we're kind of constantly, fighting to whatever, stop a river of something. You know, it's like getting my bucket, chucking water out of the river, but it just keeps flowing. This sense of self keeps attaching itself to my practice. Doing my practice, I'm really good at my practice. Oh no, that's me. I'm gonna have to get me in the bucket. It's like kind of constantly goes on that. It's quick, it's sticky, we'll identify with anything. Yeah. Good states, bad states, subtle states, gross states. Yeah. The self is not fussy. I'll take anything. Right? It doesn't have to be perfect. I'll identify with a half-formed thought. That was me. all of that. So we see it's quick, it's sticky. And we spoke about it, this little red square of cushion, mine. Wow, really? Like, you know, we've been swapping them all the time. Yeah? You know, the plates of food, mine. You know, it's very, very quick, very automatic. Yet, what happens when we just turn to it and say, gee, it's not mine. I don't believe that. It's not mine. Just hold it lightly. Hold it lightly. And of course, it's not just red squares of carpet and bowls. We also feel this sense towards this body. My body. My body hurts today. My body doesn't look the way I like. You know, this body, whatever. Yeah. Or this body's fantastic. Whichever way it kind of goes, we feel that sense. It's added on. It's added on, and maybe in a way it gets in the way. Gets in the way of intimacy, gets in the way of enjoyment, gets in the way of the love that we feel towards this nearest part of nature to us. Just like the red carpet, just like the bowl, everything is borrowed. Everything's borrowed. This body being made up of all the meals that we've eaten. Yeah? We put that in, comes through for a while. Composts its way out, somehow makes me, and I look like me again, even though I'm made up of porridge and rice and beans. Amazing transformation. Not me, not mine. Everything is borrowed. Also, these thoughts that are going through your head that feel so individual, so personal, so this is my thought. And there's a whole bunch of us having that same thought right now. Yeah. There's this idea around creativity. Everything's a remix. Everything's a remix. You just take things, you play around, you change it. It's infinite possibilities, or almost infinite possibilities. It's just happening. Ah. Do I need to own it? Do I need to? Is that the best possible thing to do? So as I said last night in the talk, there was some period of like analysis, just kind of pointing out the absurdity. A little bit of that again today. But now it's this point of saying, should we take this on as a view, as a practice? And in that way, for some of us, might be like, yes, this is the way that absolutely makes sense. I completely agree. Body is not mine. I never thought it was. And I've just been kidding myself just to fit in with everyone else. You know, thoughts, I never thought that they were my thoughts. You know, but I'm the kind of person who doesn't make a big problem with everyone else. So it's, yes, I am thinking. Yes, I am getting angry. And I'm just totally on board with that. Or it feels like a great upgrade. It feels like it makes sense. Even if it doesn't make sense, and I hope it makes some sense, but even if it doesn't, could it be useful? And if it's useful, is that enough? And I would say for me, yeah, it's enough that it's useful to take it on as a way of looking, to explore what it does through looking that way. So it's useful rather than true, and yet we do need to believe in it. I have to have some conviction in it for it to work. Does that make sense? That was a no. Yeah. So it doesn't need to be true, but you need to believe in it for it to work. Yeah. So if you, if we're going to say it's not me, it's not mine, but there's no conviction in that, then it's not really going to affect the perception that we have. Yeah. So it doesn't need to be true, but just as an actor doesn't really think that they are, you know, the one causing all the horror, but they play it as if it's real. So we're kind of playing this as if it's real. It's not me, it's not mine. And I know is though, right? But it's not me, it's not mine. I suddenly, oh, the identification just dropped a level. turned down a little bit. That felt nice. Yeah, I'm going to go with this. It's not me. It's not mine. Definitely not. And I, more conviction, right? Not because it's true, because I feel it's useful to hold it that way. Coming back to that point, I like you. I hope you like you. We're not trying to get rid of you. We're just seeing what happens when we play in this way. Yeah. In a way, this isn't about making a new conclusion. Not me, not mine. It's theirs. Yeah. It's just this. It's not me, not mine. And that might mean we kind of end up like a question mark. And that could be okay. Not me, not mine. Just this poignant question. I don't know. But how is it? How is it in that not knowing? Might feel like life is just happening. It's just happening. Less identification. Less possession. Wherever it goes, good, good. That's where it's going. But also, in the background, we can just know it could go further than this. And this poignant question, or this thing's just happening, and this sense of that, it's also not me. It's also not mine. Hmm. Yeah. I am a question. No. It's also not who I am. Not getting identified in anything, and seeing how far we go. So for many of us, we want to build on that conviction. So what seems to make the most sense for you? Is it that the body is nature's body? It's a natural phenomena. It does the digesting. It does the coagulation of the blood. It does the heart beating. And it does all of the stuff, really. Go through the list. Does that feel like, it's not me. It's not mine. I can let go of identification there most easily. And for many of us, that would be the case. Yeah. But for others, it's not the way in. Maybe it's Vedana. Maybe it's thoughts. Maybe it's making perceptions or knowing. But work from the easy. And then we can work our way across. Right? Does that make sense? That's what we're going to start from the easy. Yes. I like to say, do the easy before it becomes difficult. I wonder, maybe that's enough for us to go into, but just recognizing this is just one dimension of empty experiences. Yeah, could be a way into this that could be really powerful, really helpful. And as we do this practice, notice what happens to the phenomena that we were more identified with as well. Right, so that self-sense phase, but also maybe that sense of the body being a thing. Yeah. Everything is made up. You know, we played with the chair. Take away the parts of the chair. Still chair? No chair. Chair disappears, put it together. Chair. Body, same way, made up of these parts. And these parts themselves are made up of parts. Add that all together, and then we get this thing. It's my foot. First we construct the foot, then there's this my bit that gets added on, and then we start dropping out the my. What happens to foot? Somehow it's just this thing, it's this ripple of sensations, the softening, the emptiness of self and the emptiness of what the self identifies with need each other. There's no sense of self without a sense of am I something. Dropping that, fading that, letting those things open out each other. The whole structure of self, other, depends on each other. Depends on that definition here, to make that definition there. We can open that, play with that. We'll see that opens more and more. Insight practices are specific things. And there's a real support in being clear. It's like, okay, now I'm switching to the insight practice of not me, not mine. And I'll say a little bit about it as a technique, how it kind of stands alone. There can be a sense at times, is I'm gonna take a painful sensation in my body and I'm gonna not me, not mine it, and if that doesn't work, I'll Vedana it, and then I'll send it metta, and then by the end, there's no way it can continue to exist. You know? Use it as a problem-fixing, solving thing, which is some degree of aversion in our practice. Yeah. Whereas the not me, not mine, we really want it to be able to reveal what that does, what that lens, what that way of relating does to experience, so that we can actually get an insight about the insight practice. In a way, when we say it's not me, it's not mine, we are saying it's also not a problem in that way. It can still exist. But what's it like for it to exist if it's a pain? What's it like for it to exist with less identification, less ownership, less agitation around? So if you find yourself in that subtle aversion type of thing, bring in some more metta. You can still be doing not me, not mine, but with a lot of metta coming through it. Yeah. So mentioning this phrase, not me, not mine, it can be helpful to use a little bit of noting in this practice. And it can be quite light. We don't want it to kind of be the dominant thing, but it's like it comes through. So short is good, not self. Anatta, not me, not mine, and it was, what was the, lo etzmi, lo shili, so lo etzmi, or there's lo ani, but you have to see what really works for you, yeah, so lo etzmi, lo shili, something like this, you know, so it's like, see what touches you as the thing. As the way that we would say it. You know, this is my foot. And I'm saying, actually, it's not mine. Not mine. So find the language is best for you to kind of find for yourself. Yeah. So just before going into it as a practice, just like noticing if we can use the body. Like these sensations of the body. I didn't make them. I didn't choose them. I just noticed them. They're not me. Not mine. They're just happening. The Vedana, the pleasantness or unpleasantness, or neither of this sensation, that sensation. It's just happening. The perception, the appearance in consciousness of it being this way. With its depths, its dimensions, its colors, its heat, its temperature, shape. It's not me. Not mine. The knowing of it. The capacity to know. To sense and to know. Just happening. So let's bring this into a bit of practice together. I hope that much makes sense. We'll bring in some metta or some samadhi, some bringing your attention to your experience for a little bit of time for some settling in. So if you want, have a little stretch, find the right posture. So with the phrasing that we can use, remember you can include, like, it's not just me, it's not just mine, if that feels, it makes it more accessible. Yeah, beginning with practice that tends to help you settle, ease the contraction, open around. Supporting a sense of softening, relaxing into this moment, into this body, into this awareness. A sense of the aliveness that can come up, come through. Letting the attention meet the experience, know. Life unfolding. Taking this opportunity to notice the body, the fluidity of the inner liquids of the body, blood, saliva in the mouth. Just like the rivers, lakes, oceans of the world. Within this, the skeletal structure, the bones, like rocks. Earthiness, the heaviness of the muscles, flesh. we draw the attention in, we find all kinds of space. Space in the mouth, the nose, the ears. Small spaces in the spine, between the bones, the belly. Spaces for air and gases. Maybe even within the cells of the body, there's a sense of the enormous space. Different ways of looking at the body reveal a different kind of body. Maybe it's not me, it's not mine. It's not one thing, for one thing. This body here, getting to know once again, it's nourished by food and water. Every physical cell of the body, more or less, in a cycle, wasn't here 7 to 10 years ago. Not me. Not me. Mostly taking care of itself, regulating the breath, feeding the heart, digesting the food, flowing the blood, healing the wounds, building the cells. Not mine. If there's any particular sensation in the body that draws attention, being with it, if you wish to, with an openness. Also a sense that it's not me, it's not mine, it's not rejected or possessed. There's still metta. Where is the attention in this moment? How is it to see that this is just what's happening? You don't need to add on a me, a mine. What happens to experience, to that painful sensation or that thought that's flowing through when it's not seen that way? Not me. Not mine. Not myself. If it does something, that's okay. If it does nothing noticeable, that's okay. If it opens a sense of more well-being, some of the time, letting ourselves enjoy that, appreciate that, open into that. Letting it spread, maybe. And sometimes, probably not all the time, you can also see this is also not me, not mine. Letting it open, soften a little bit more. taking the moment to maybe have an enjoyable breath or a wide open listening to sound. The next few minutes, I'll just suggest a guided route through the sense doors that we have, the ways in which we know, perceive, sense the world. Bring your kind attention to the ear, both ears. Curly shape of cartilage on the side of the head, but also the ear canal that goes within the head with its intricate shape, its delicate hairs that pick up the vibrations of the world. Not something we made. Gifted to us. It's not me. It's not mine. And any sounds any vibrations that we hear. Not owning, possessing those, not really picking and choosing, letting them just happen. The sensitivity to be able to make sounds out of vibrations, a world of sounds. How does that? It's not me. It's not mine. It's not my doing. Perceiving the knowing of sounds, it's not me, not mine. Allowing sounds to just happen, ears to just be there, hearing to happen, not me, not mine, not myself. What about that whole body, the whole of the skin of the body, alive with sensitivity, and also within the body, all of those sensations, the sensation of the back, the space around. Whatever we sense, we allow it to just happen. That we can sense, perceive a world of contact, of touch. It's not me. It's not mine. Perceiving this knowing of the physical, inner and outer. Not me, not mine, not myself. These delicate eyes, moist, soft, help to make a visual world appear to us with depth and colour, form. Whatever is appearing, the light that comes between the eyelashes, the impressions, in awareness. It's not something we do, it's something we receive. It's not me, it's not mine. The sensitivity, making visual perceptions and knowing them. Happening. Not me. Not mine. Not myself. The flavors on the tongue, and the aromas in the nose. Happening. I don't need a me or a mine added on. Within this spaciousness, you may also notice that the thoughts or emotions that are flowing through just happening. Didn't make them, somehow can know them. But maybe you don't need a me or a mine added on. noticing this is the all of the all. All the ways we sense the world, inner and outer. Anything we perceive, anything we know. Not me. Not mine. Not myself. So that was quite a kind of rapid tour around the senses to, you know, have an exploration. If you were doing that in your own time, perhaps you would just take one sense door and see, tune, and feel, and whatever. Or you could take other elements of your experience, the body, the Vedana, thoughts, feelings. You know. So it can be something that you combine and drop in towards the end of a practice session and then tune back into any sense of well-being or whatever that supports and generates. Usually, most of the time, it's helpful to do less than we think we could so that we can be better at really understanding the before, the during, the after effects of these kind of practices. Obviously, it's possible to turn this attention to anything, so we can bring it into the movement practice. It can be helpful at certain times, particularly if we have our own favorite walking patch that we go to. This is not mine. Yeah. It's, oh, yeah. We can soften that up, or even as we're walking, we've gone back and forwards, maybe over an area for a while. It would be helpful. You could also say, this is not a path. Yeah. And during the activity of walking, if you want, you could also declare that this is not walking in this moment. And seeing what that kind of opens out, those, what would they be, you know, counter proposals to what we might habitually think. See what those open up for us. So if that makes enough sense to either put aside or to take up as a practice, then feel free to go forth and do that. And before you go, we just have a small announcement to make, and then we'll open out to the questions and responses side.